Parshas Matos Maaseh, which necessitates that we won't get through everything because of the double the nature of the size. The first part of Parshas Matos, the first parak, essentially deals with the laws of Nedarim and Shavuos, and I didn't really want to focus too much on it, but I did share with you one comment. So we'll start with this, and it's not so much the insight as much as it's really, meaning it's not so much the insight on the text, as much as he makes a comment, which I just found to be fascinating, because he's talking to us, as opposed to commenting on the Chumash. So, the Pasuk in which this comment is found is Pasuk Vav, so let's just take a look at the context. So, it's talking about how a woman who makes vows, depending on if she's married or if she's living at home, her father can nullify her vows, or her husband can nullify her vows. Okay, so this is the background of the context. Pasuk Vav says, "V'imeniya v'yosa." If her father restrains her on the day b'yom shamo of his hearing the vow, then kol nedareha v'asaresh erzer anasha lo yakum. Then all of her vows or prohibitions that she established upon herself shall not stand. V'Hashem yislach la k'imeniya v'yosa. Hashem will forgive her for her father had restrained her. So the comment that he makes here is divrei Rashi. So Rashi says that the pasuk here is talking about a woman who made a vow and her husband heard about it. But that comment that Rashi says that this is a situation where Hashem yislach la, that God will forgive her, is on Pasuk Yud Gimel, where her, right, what does the Pasuk there say in Yud Gimel? That's referring to her husband. So he says, there it's clearly talking about a woman and her husband. But not here, because here clearly it's referring to the father nullifying her vows. Okay, so in other words, he's saying that the Sifrei is correct, and what Rashi's comment is incorrect. So in the Chumash, which has the Gra's commentary, which is a Chumash which clearly was available to him, Rashi's comment about her, the husband was put on Pasuk Yud Gimel, but where Rashi's comment is put it on Pasuk Vav. Here, so take a look here. Uh-huh. Take a look at our Chumash. Hashem b'ma'akas b'daber b'isha shenadura b'nazir b'shama ba'ala v'heifir la v'hilo yada. Okay, so it's the same problem.
Same exact issue.
So look what he says. Utmihani al ha-ra'ein. That's what Eliyahu Mizrachi. He says, I have a question on Ra'ein. With Sharma Farshi Rashi, Sherichu Ma'od al Dvar Al-Khan, Veloj Gichu Shu Matus Ad-Dafus.
They didn't pay attention.
He says, guys, this Rashi is clearly meant to be on the other Hashem Yislachla, and it was put in the wrong place. So it's just fascinating to me that he's telling us, he says, guys, you know, Rashi's coming here, it's just in the wrong place. It belongs in Pasuk. Wow. Gimel. So I just thought that was, you know, at least interesting to behold, because everybody's running rings around trying to explain Rashi over here when it's clear that the pasuk is referring to a woman and her father in this pasuk in Vav, and in Yud Gimel it's referring to her husband. So
he doesn't usually do this.
Well, I mean, how often does it really happen? But the point is, I just found it a little compelling that he's saying, guys, it's a really simple answer to the question. It really has nothing to do with the Chumash. It has to do with where Rashi's comment here is placed, and he says it's a mistake of the printer. So simple answer. Okay, that's fine. All right, what?
Like simple answers.
Yeah, exactly. Simple answers, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So we're going to move on to Perek Lamed Aleph. By the way, his comments on this are, as you can see here from my original, they're very, very long. So if we had stuck to this, look at how big these comments are. We'd be here all day just on this one page. So I wanted to cover more ground, so I skipped it. Okay, pasuk. So now we move on to Perek Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph rather. Okay, so it's Cheney, bottom page 902. Now we're in the pasukim. Hashem says to Moshe, "Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'esam b'ganim achar te'asev al mecha." He said, note the double language, Nikom, Nikmas, B'nai Israel. So take the vengeance of the children of Israel against the Midianim, and afterwards you will be gathered to your nation, you're going to die. By Ber Moshe, Moshe speaks to the people, saying, now we're going to take people for the tzava, the army. And so they're going to go against Midian. To take God's vengeance against Midian. Okay, now what did God tell Moshe? Nikom, Nikmas, and Israel. And what's Moshe saying? We're going to take Nikmas, Hashem. Okay, so let's. So we understand the question? Okay, so take a look. Why does Hashem use the word Nekama twice? The Midianim did two bad things. One, Aleph, Echtiru es Yisrael b'zima, b'arazara, asher sanei Hashem. They caused people to sin. So that's, he mentions the different sins. Okay, the sexual promiscuity, whatever, and the avodazara, which all is a nogea b'kavod shemayim. They're impinging on the honor of heaven. Ubeis, Gormu Avdon, Chavdal and Aleph from Israel, from Yisrael Magapha. They caused the death of 24,000 in Israel. And because God is more concerned about the law, right? In other words, God says, yeah, you sinned, okay, but God is typically forgiving. However, what ended up happening was 24,000 people, once they're dead, they're dead. That's why God says, look, I don't need you to take vengeance for the sin against me. I need you to take vengeance for the sin against B'nai Israel. Moshe says, no. We've seen this before.
Pliyakar,
okay,
last year.
Right. We
last
saw this Pliyakar with the Nachash Nechoshes, I think it was. Was it the Pliyakar?
No,
it's definitely in the Nachash Nechoshes. In the because if you go back, I don't want to go back into it now. If you look at Nachash, because Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, "Asel l'chasaraf," and Moshe makes a Nachash, something like that. So it has to do with the kavod of each one, and each one is moichel on the kavod. Are their own covered, and they're not moichel on the covered in the other direction. So Moshe, hafachas and hakamish fil kodah is barak shua ikar. Moshe says, "I'm not going to be moichel, and because it's God's honor that's at stake here." Ve'avdan nafshos Yisrael asalem ketafel lachin amar who nikmas Hashem. So Moshe made the 24,000. You know, we can make the argument. I don't know who died. I don't know who died, but we can make the argument that these 24,000 people maybe might have died anyway. Why? Because they're part of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, they're going to die anyway in the wilderness because of the Meraglim decree.
Was this after Tisha B'Av?
Right. So, I don't know about that. That's an interesting question. I don't know. The other possibility is that these were the people who were supposed to go into the land. Okay, because the people who were not supposed to go into the land were 60 and older. Of course, there's a midrash about Zimri that he was a really old guy, which is an interesting discussion as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm not gonna play God in that way. Right, I'm not gonna play God in that way. But the point is that God says, you know, his point is that God says it's Nikmas ben Israel because you caused the deaths of 24,000, and Moshe says it's Nikmas Hashem because you caused us to sin, and that's a terrible thing. So, all right, so that's just one. Again, a pretty simple answer in terms of why the switch. Now we move on and we read through what the instructions are. So look back at the Pesukim. Elef Lamateh, Elef Lamateh, Lechol Matos Yisrael Teshechu Latzavah. What does that mean? Elef Lamateh. Elef means 1,000, right? So 1,000. So how many people are going to be fighting in Midian? 12,000, right? Seems pretty clear.
Yeah.
That's what the next pasuk says. Vayimashru me'alfei Yisrael, Elef Lamateh, Shnei Masar Elef, Chalutzei Tzavah. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's right. So it's pretty straightforward. Pretty straightforward. Except that if you tell me Elef Lamateh, then I know that it's 12,000. So why do you have to? Why do you
maybe
have to do
it's
that?
24.
No.
No way. 14.
Take a look. Take a look. Pasuk Hey, Vayimashru Me'alfei Yisrael. How you Ra'ui Lamar Vayimashru Me'Yisrael.
Versus what does it say?
It says Vayimashru Me'alfei Yisrael.
Yeah, so why the Alfei is extra?
Correct. It should say Vayimashru Me'Yisrael Elef Lamateh Shnei Masar. That's it. So what's Me'alfei Yisrael? So Mahu Me'alfei. So they took of the thousands of Israel a thousand. So he says no. V'yitachen she'eino al sikum inyan kiyim al inyan chashivus ma'al kamo la'alufei Edom. The Alfei is like Aluf. You remember Aluf Eso, Aluf Esav, Aluf Edom. What is Aluf?
Chiefs, right?
Important people. Keves El Aluf. I read that wrong. That's Yirmiyahu Yom Yud-Aleph. The Targumo Bachir, the choice, the chief, like you said, chief, the best. Umizeh Mishnah Nachas Alpha the Solas Klamar Meulav Amushubach. Right, Solas, fine flower, is the best. It should be youngest, but chashuve ma'ala, the most important. And therefore, he says, in other words, who's going out to fight? Who are the Aleph? Aleph is 1,000. But the aluf, what's the word here? The alfei is the alufe. So the 1,000 are of the best. Beshapir hosiv Yonatan Raziel Tagamo Guvrin Sadikin. Yonatan Raziel says these are just righteous men. V'amru b'sifrei magid kosher shayu sadikim ksherim. These are the best. The creme de la creme. The best, the best hezer guys. Ish ploni b'tzadik yatzal l'milchama, etc. Kedamrinan be'alma ish ha'yirim ha'viros shibyado. Somebody who's afraid of the sins which he has, even the light sins, any yotzei l'milchama. Right? You don't get, you want the creme de la creme in terms of mitzvos and connection to God, etc. Those are the people who are going to go out to war.
That's excellent.
Okay, so that's just excellent. Well, it's me'alfei that our punctuation is a little misaligned, and then it has to be me'alufei. That's the way you have to read it. Or even if you read it me'alfei, it means me'alufei. Okay, next. The next pasuk tells us, Vayishlach Osam Moshe Elof Lamatel Atzava, Osam V'yaz Pinchas Ben Elazar Kohen Latzava Uchle Chodesh V'chatzotros Hachrua B'yado. So what does it say? Elef Lamate, 1,000 per tribe, Latzava for the army. Them and Pinchas Ben Elazar Kohen Latzava. What is it? So Pinchas Ben Elazar Kohen Latzava? What does it mean? What does it mean what does Latzava mean? Is it referring to that all these people are going out to war? So then just say once. Vayishlach Osam Moshe Elef Lamateh Osam Yis Pinchas Ben Elazar Kohen Latzava. Why do you have to Latzava twice? Emi Las Latzava Musav Al Vayishlach. It's not that Moshe sent Pinchas Ben Elazar Kohen to war. Ki Kvar Hizkir Mikodem Shashi Luach Hayel Latzava. Okay, it already said that what Moshe is sending is out to war. Avol Hu Musav Al Milas Hakohen. Yes, Pinchas ben Elazar hakohen latzava. Okay, Pinchas ben Elazar is sent out. He says this is a source for an idea. Tam kohen latzava, kohen amiuchad anshei latzava. Right, what's that? What's that referred to as in halacha? V'nikra pira b'seinu kohen mashuach milchama. Okay, this is a kohen who's specific to go out to war to be the kohen who is basically. I mean, whether you want to call him a chaplain, the equivalent of a chaplain, for example. So that's a possibility. But in any case, what they're saying is that Elazar was a Mashuach Milchama. Now, what does that mean? I mean, Elazar took over his father. So was he a Mashuach Milchama? Well, he could have been the Kohen Gadol, and he was, in addition, he was given this assignment as Mashuach Milchama. L'man damar bilatzavah rishon, hu l'man damar hagavul she'ilav, l'man damar zashini, hu l'man damar atachlis. It could be that Lamed Mem Dalet stands for something else, but
for 24 maybe.
No. Again, he's doing this again. He's saying the Ashkenazic commentaries who thought that the second word Latzava was going back to on the word Vayishlach, they didn't explain this at all. But he says that the point of the word Latzava here is to show us that there's a Kohen Mashuach Milchama, and that's his role. It's not that his job is to fight, per se. It's that his role is to be the spiritual leader out on the battlefield. Okay. All right. So that's what he takes from the second word Latzava, and that it doesn't go back on the word Vayishlach, but it's actually describing the job of the Kohen. Now, the next thing which I gave you here is in Pasuk Yud. And I'm going to be honest with you that I don't understand what he's saying here, because it is unclear. To me it's unclear. Maybe if people have a better idea, but it describes the psukim ches, and in Zion it says that they killed all the males. In ches it says the kings who were killed, and it mentions Bilam as well. in this battle. And in Tess, it tells us that they captured the women of Midian and the children and the animals and all the booty which they took from war, the spoils of war. Pasuk Yud, Ve'eskol Areihem B'moshev Osam, Ve'eskol Tirosam Sarafu Ba'esh. All of their cities, B'moshev Osam, in their dwelling places. It seems like a superfluous word.
Yeah.
Right? If it's their cities, aren't their cities their dwelling places? So take a look what he says. Yesh Meforshim Milas B'moshev Osam, Kitor Milas Areihem. Some say Moshev Osam, which would essentially mean where they dwelt, where they lived, is a toar, is a descriptive of the word which means their cities, Areihem. Uchilu Amar, Arim, Noshevos, as if it's saying occupied cities. V'yoter Nir Lamar, the Paresh Milas Moshev Osam, Toar Leyoshevei Arim. That he says it would seem better to translate the word Moshev Osam to be a descriptive of those who are living in the city. So I was trying to understand what that means when you translate it. Sheperish Yoshevei Bayis. So V'yeh Areihem B'moshev Osam K'mo Areihem Im Yoshevehem. Okay, so Areihem B'moshev Osam means the cities with those who dwelled in them. So what does that mean? Now let's read the pasuk. They captured the women of Midian and the children, and all their animals, and all the other animals, and they plundered, you know, the spoils of war. And all their cities, with those who lived in it, and all of their palaces, sarfu ba'esh, they burned in the fire. So is it Ksav HaKabbalah saying that they burned the people along with the cities? Are these the people that they killed? Are these people who are alive? I'm not understanding what he's saying when he says that.
How could he mean the people if the next sentence says they took all the booty and all the captives of people?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is I don't understand what the Ksav HaKabbalah's comment is.
Okay,
but I wanted to share that with you because if I'm understanding it correctly,
yeah.
If my understanding rather is correct, then I'm very troubled. If my understanding is not correct, then I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just putting it out there. Okay, next. Pasuk Kazayin. Okay. I don't really need to tell you this. We don't need to do this one inside. I just wanted to share with you what, you know, essentially what he says. He has trouble with this idea because what does he do? That's the page. Moshe says to them, "Why do you let all the women live?" He says, "Look, the women are the ones who are responsible for everything that took place here," and so. We certainly have a concern over the sexual component of it, okay? But he says, what's the phrase here? Limsor ma'al b'Hashem.
Okay?
So he says here, Targum uva'ashen orbitzer. Basically, what he says here is that the real problem is the way that Baal Peor is served. Okay? And he's very explicit. Look at the very last line. Amar Lashon Zekan Lefisha Avoida Sapoora Yadavar Maguna Maos Gatsmo. The way in which Baal Peor was worshipped was just, I mean, this, when we say disgusting, it really was disgusting. Show you Porin Lefnehen, Pia Tabas, and Motsi and Rei. They would basically defecate in front of it. Okay? That's, the Pia Tabas refers to the Tuchus, and Rei is excrement. So that is, that's what they would do. So in other words, if the women are getting people to do this, then, you know, it's such an uber disgrace beyond just Avodah Zarah itself. It's just, like, it's one thing to bow, it's another thing to do this.
Yeah.
So again, I mean, I don't know where he gets that information from in terms of how Baal Peor was worshipped, but that's what he says. Okay. Now, all right, now we're going to finish up. Basically, everything that I gave you now is the rest of his commentary on this chapter. Let's take a look. Pasuk Yidchas. So the women who have not been with a man, they can live.
Okay,
Okay, you have to basically purge or purify everything that was from this place, and you can keep the women. You can keep them for yourselves. Okay, so now what does that mean? You can keep them for yourselves. It would seem that you are allowed to take them as women to live in your homes as wards. So does that mean as maids? Does that mean as wives? What does it mean? So Ksav HaKabbalah explains. Achayu lachem. Yesh bo shtei mashmaos. There are two different ways to understand this. Im lachem l'shvachos im linasei lachem. Right? They can either be maids or you can marry them. L'Yisrael mutaros linasei. The irregular Israelite is allowed to marry them. With a kohen rak l'shvachos. And a kohen is only allowed to take it as a maid. V'giyaros avil p'chus amibaskim alasur lakuna. A woman who is brought into the Jewish community as a convert under the age of three, even under the age of three, she can't marry Cohen. He says, had I been there, okay, I would have said that the halacha is Moavi v'lo Moavos. Okay, what do we say? We say Lo Yavel Moavi v'kal Hashem. Okay, so we say what the halacha is. We learn this from Rus, right? That a Moavi is not allowed to come, but a Moavite is allowed to come. Okay, he says Amina. He says Avina. I would never would have said Moavi v'lo Moavos. Amina Moavos v'lo Moavi. I would have said that you can't have the women. Why? Because the women were the problem.
They were the problem.
Yeah. Okay. But the Quran alone was of Chayel Oyhen. You know, they were the problem. This is essentially what he's saying. Uksiv Hain Haina, how you the Bnei Yisrael, but Varbilam Atiyam Agiv Abadas Hashem. Right, the women of all. These are the women who caused the Magefa, the plague to come down. Inun Garmei Kulei, the Gubrin Asiri, Inun Shrayin. It's a what do we have? The men are forbidden to come into the Kal Hashem, and the women are permissible. Umiyad Amar Derbe. He says, but then he says, I have to go back. Why? Because what did Moshe and Elazar do? They say the women who were not with men, with the Bnei Israel, they can live. My time. Okay, Elohim Efkiru Osan Bal Korchan Batsas Bilam. He says, if the men of Midian, or Moab rather, are not around, then the women aren't doing this. They, if Kiru Osan Bal Korchan Batsas Bilam.
Against their will.
Yeah, they were forced into it against their will. Yes, they were the problem, but not the women who Lo Yadu Mishkav Zachar. Women who were virgins, essentially, after this whole episode, they were pure. So, what's the issue here? It's men. The people of Moab who so disregarded their women that they basically pushed their women to do this terrible deed, not caring about their fate.
But I'm only talking about the people of Midian, not Moab, right here.
Vayachal Am Lesnos Moav. Moab.
But here, in Pazlik, they went to war against Midian.
Right. So there was a partnership of some kind. Who's right?
At this point, Hashem didn't address Moab, apparently.
So you're correct that the only information that we have here is Midian, okay? But there was a treaty. You know, when we talk about who's Balak? Balak is Melech what?
Midian.
Moab.
Moab, okay?
He came from Midian.
And who comes to Bilam? Vayechvu, Vayelchu, Sarai.
Both of them.
Right. Right, you have Moab and Midian.
The Sarai Midian actually took off once he apparently told.
Look, the only thing that I can compare it to just in modern times, in 1967, what's his name? Nasser attacks Israel, or you know, the war begins, and Levi Eshkol sends a message to King Hussein of Jordan, saying, "We have no fight with you. Don't fight us. We're not going to attack you." But he had already signed over his army to Nasser, so they started shelling. They started shelling Jerusalem. Well, we know what happened next. Why did Jordan do? Why did Hussein send his army? Because he wasn't in control anymore. There's just this alliance. So that's the best I can give you. I'll regalach.
I don't know why he introduces the people of Moab here when they don't seem to be involved at all. I mean,
in this battle, no, right?
I understand.
Correct.
His point.
I hear what you're saying. I just don't know. I don't know how much if there was a crossover. You know, the Torah talks about Benos Moab, and here we're talking about the women of Midian. But I'm just wondering if there was just a merging of the two.
In general.
Right. So okay,
why weren't the women also? Maybe both of them should have been excluded because the men were excluded for not having hospitality.
So he's obviously not going that route. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not sure what else to tell you. Okay.
Bottom line, he explains why he let the women who were not participants.
Correct. And why the halacha is Moavi velo Moavis. Lo yavo Moavi b'kal Hashem. So yeah, we could talk about lechem v'mayim. That's one. You know, the bread and water that were not given to them. That's one way to look at it. But he's saying that it's even worse than that. That the men are the ones who sent the women, and it wasn't the women who. Yes, I mean, women are women, and men are going to be enticed by women, of course. That's understood. But the question is, why were the women there in the first place? And the answer is, their men said, "Go, go."
Okay, so that gives them the women some degree of protection.
It's saying that they weren't doing this of their own volition. It's saying that the women who were responsible were absolutely, in the end, guilty because they caused it to happen.
Right.
Okay. The fact of the matter is, yeah, they could send you there, but in the end, you're in the tent with the guy. What are you doing?
Well,
okay. I mean, look. It's very easy to be a 20/20 hindsight Monday morning quarterback. Okay. I don't want to get lost in this.
Okay.
Because I think that the point has been made. All right. Let's move on. Now this one is fascinating. Okay, and this has, you want to talk about your Musar Haskel for today, you're going to get it. Okay, this is, it's right here. Okay, so what we saw is that everything that you're going to take, Tizchatou, needs to be purified. That's what the word Tizchatou means here. Ayin Rash Midivar Ezal. So now we're in the Iksava Kabbalah, we already looked at this puzzle. He says, Atem Kruim Adam Be'ein Aramim Kruim Adam. Okay, Rashi says, you are called Adam, and the Aramites are not called Adam. Look at what he calls people of Bnei Israel who think that Bnei Israel are better than other people. Okay? This is such an important point. Bnei Israel are not better than other people. Jewish people are not better than anybody else. Okay? Our job, we have a different job in the world. You want to call it Or LaGoyim, the light of the nations. You want to call it God's representatives on this earth. You want to call it the Bechor of God's children. Those are fine, okay? Just as I would never say about any of my kids, I love you more or you're better than any of my other kids. But the idea that my oldest is my oldest, that's an unchanging fact, okay? So if Moshe, remember, at one point he says to Paro, Kol Mar Hashem B'ni B'chori Yisrael, my son, my firstborn, my eldest is Israel. Okay, so if God has a bunch of children and Israel is viewed as God's Bechor, fine. That doesn't take away from anybody else's being people, God's children, but one is a Bechor. Again, these are facts, ma'am. That's the way it goes. So he says, anybody who thinks that the humanity of non-Jews, and I would throw this back at the non-Jews and say, anybody who thinks the humanity of the Jews is less than anybody else, you're a fool. He calls you a golem. What's a golem? A non-thinking entity. What are you? You're less than, what are you? You're nothing. The only people who say this kind of stuff are, to use an outlier's word, idiots. People who just don't know anything. People who don't understand what the way language works. There are two different words which the Torah is using in this parsha to describe people. One is ish, and one is adam. How would you translate ish, everybody? Not a trick question. A man. How would you translate adam?
Human.
A human or a man. Okay.
Man.
So what does he say? Ish. When it says ish ish ki dor ned al Hashem, when a man makes a vow to God, Ish l'rabos es hanachrim shenodru nedarim nedavos k'Yisrael. Ish refers to all people, including non-Jews who might make vows, just as Jews might make vows. Harei shichulim razal b'chal kas hanashim. So all people are referred to as ish. Omnam kavanaz ma'amar b'zeh pashut. D'lofia mevuar ha'del shebein tor adam l'tor ish ayenshem. He says there's a distinction to be made between what is an adam and what is an ish. V'imke. So here's the following. Kolo mos she'ein aliyem ol mitzvah amyuchados Yisrael. All the nations who do not have the yoke of mitzvah, the burden of mitzvos, which are given to Israel. Ve'einem ovdim es Hashem ki'im binyonim hamaskimim im sechel enoshi. And the only way which they serve God is with things which just agree with rationally. V'chamat she'ein kula mitzvos tibiyos, which are essentially natural laws. Like, what do they do? They don't steal, they don't murder. Okay, in other words, they have mitzvahs b'nei noach, by and large, are rational mitzvahs. Ad she'ein b'pnim yusam shumis nagdus negad ha'mechuyavim aleihem. And they don't have objection to those things, right? Because they make sense. You're right, stealing is wrong, it's not good for society. Murder is wrong, it's not good for society, etc. V'nafochu kulam heim nitu'im b'teva kol ish v'ish. They are included in the language of ish v'ish. L'chein. Ein li'acheis aleihem tor adam. They don't get the depiction as being called Adam. The shame zeh lohu nachim amish detias bizim tuvao tivo natua bo hevach amukuvam betachlis hanoshi beemes. Okay, so he says the word Adam is assigned differently. Okay, ki im amish detias mezug tuvao, the direction of his nature natua bo, which is in him. Hefach hamukuvam betachlis hanoshi beemes, which is it doesn't really follow. Let's say a baseline order of humanity. What does that mean? Well, zehu tzrach ishtadlus gadolus atzem luskamem ad shishtalen kfi chokei toras olav himavur lamala. And so that person needs to work on oneself in a tremendous way. Lefi sheyisraeli sherova v'rasol Hashem kfi chokei Hashem shemis nagdim l'teva v'seichal hanoshi. The Israelite whose service of God, following God's laws, which go against perhaps natural instinct, and in some cases rationalism, who asher yitachein lekanoso b'shem tor adam, that is who gets the depiction of being an adam. Avakol she'ein ovenei Yisrael she'ein tachliso him lioso chayei shleimus maskim l'sichlo tivo. That person just needs to be a good rational human being. Lo yitachein alav shem adam kim shemish. Okay. So in other words, if I call somebody a man, I call somebody else a human, for example, is it an insult to either one?
No.
Okay, I'm not saying that you're less
right.
of a person, but there's just a different depiction because your job on this earth is a little different. And that's why the rabbis called the umos ha'olam ish and not adam. So in other words, they're not saying you're not a human being. You're an ish. What's an ish? It's a human being. But in Hebrew, there's a different word. As it says in Mechilta Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Tam Chacham Nikra Adam, B'Yisrael, Lo Nikra Adam, B'chein Amru Gam Kein, Lo Yizkri Ben Adam, Ela Kad Osek B'Torah. Okay, so when is a person called Adam? When a person is Osek B'Torah. B'chein Amru, Mishu Bal Mitzvos Nikra Adam. They also said that somebody who does mitzvos is an Adam. Hashomer Shabbos, somebody who keeps Shabbos is Nikra Adam. Misha no Saint Tzedakah, somebody who gives charity, Nikra Adam. Gam Dibrahim Eile, Yesh Lam Yisod Balashon, and this has a foundation in language. Yishem Adam Einu Mivurar Lemor, Shumigzeras Adama, Lioso Afar Min Adama. It's not referring to Adama. The Im Kain, Lo Yipol Shem Adam Kiyim Al Adam Arishon Belat. Because if it refers to being made from the dust of the earth, then there's only one person in the world.
Ah.
In the history of the world, it could be referred to as an Adam, and that would be Adam Rishon. Bilvacha hu aya notzar ben adamah. Ve'atodos ha'boim acharav nigru b'shem zeh al tzad ha'yachas shehim boim min ha'adam. They come from the Adam. Umi denigru gam ha'boim acharav b'shem adam levad. Moshe kasu kechel adam l'rov. V'dom ha'yam v'lo nigru b'nei ha'adam. So if they are referred to as Adam, not Bnei Adam, oh, haya ra'uish yikru abayim akhra b'shem, Adamuyim, right? Adam, what does that mean? They're Adamites, Adas, Yehudim, Mitzrim, Edomim. He name he calls the Yerush Hashem Adam Lashon Hit Damut Vehish Tavot. Ratzalomar Shenase B'dmus Elohim. He says the word Adam beyond Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon is because he's taken from a farm in Adama. But the word beyond that is the word, like, it's like Dalad Mem. Dalad Mem means to be compared or to, right, that's what his Damut means, yeah.
Equated to, right?
Or equated to, yeah. And that's where it comes from. Being B'dmus Elohim. So anybody who has a real, you know, emulation of God is an Adam. You have to try to be like God, Godlike. Says it's not. Listen, what's the rule about with Judaism? You want to follow 613 mitzvahs? Come on in. If you don't like the fact that these texts and this verbiage refers to you as an ish, which is not an insult, and refers to this as an adam, says so. Join the people who aim to lishdamos and lishdavos lelohim. You're welcome. Welcome to join. Okay, especially nowadays when we don't have any way of designating the Amalekite and the Moabite, etc., and to say that these people couldn't join the Jewish people, everybody's welcome. So again, the point to also bring home is this idea of a superiority is nonsense. There's no such thing as a superiority. It's a different mission on earth. And if your job on earth is Torah mitzvahs, then you're an Adam. Your job on earth is not Torah mitzvahs, but you're a good person. You're an ish, not an insult. Not an insult.
You know what's amazing about that? I'm trying to think back and. Any other nations refer to Ish Mitzri or Ish another nation, so it really fits in well.
Right. So the question is if it works all the time. So that's an interesting, you know, that's always homework. Whenever, you know, he or any other commentary makes a rule which seems to be something which could be consistent throughout the Torah, you have to see if it is consistent throughout the Torah. So that's homework. That's homework. Okay.
Nice.
Along similar lines, not so much in terms of Ish and Adam, so I just thought that was a great message to take home. Is what he says in Pasuk Memches. So you have to just skip in the pasuk, in the page for a second. At the very end in Pasuk Memches, it gives us a number of the. There's a lot of depiction of animals which were brought as spoils, and what they took from Midian. But anyway, Memches vayikrivu al Moshe abgudim asher le'alfei hatzava sarei alfim v'sarei hameos. Okay, so what's the question here? The question he's going to ask is, you have here the word tzava. What does the word tzava mean, everybody?
Legion?
I mean, you could say, in simple words, army. Okay, I mean, you know, it's the fighting force. V'chol ha-parsha karas, I'm back in the Ksav HaKabbal, karas ha-shem l'chama b'shem tzava. In all the parsha, it refers to the people who are fighting as tzava. Rak v'pasuk yidalad amar v'yiksof Moshe al-pkudei ha-chayim. Okay, remember when they come back, they left alive the people who they were not supposed to leave alive. So it's the bottom page 904 by Ksop Moshe Apukudei Achayil. Sarei Elfim, Sarei Meos, Sabayim, Mitzvah, Milchama. Moshe got angry at the people who were the Chayil. So he says, what's the difference between Chayil and Tzava? Ki, Behachayo, Samasana Kivos, Neged Ritzono Yisbarach, Ram Chayil. When they went against Moshe's will, God's will, they're referred to as Chayil. Shayu Domin Bezeh, the Shar Chayalim Hosim Milchama Kirtanam, like all other kinds of armies who do whatever they want, they want. They go to the beat of their own drum. Onam Binyana Milchama Atzma, Shayosin Kfiya Ratzan Amitsuva, Karam B'Shem Mishubach Tzava. Al Shem Tzivos Hashem. See that? Why do you think Chabad calls their children's group Tzivos Hashem? Because God's army, they do God's will. Okay? So why do we call Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael Chayalei? Well, see, they have Chayalei Tzava. Wait, what do we call them? What do we call them really in Hebrew? Tzava Hagana Yisrael. Tzava.
Okay.
So that's what it's supposed to be.
All right.
So maybe we shouldn't call them Chayalim. We should call them Tzvaos. Tzvaos. Okay. All right. The next one. We'll do the last two just to finish the pack. Im yiel al fe'al schum mayimar achgach v'sarei ameos aval kan. So what's the answer? Why do they refer to it as the legions of thousands and the legions of hundreds? We already know the answer. We saw this. He just repeats it here.
Okay.
That, yeah, they're correct. Probably. Correct. But they're not. It's not referring to thousands. It's the alufei. The alufei. It's the best. The best of the best. Okay. All right. Now this next one is amazing. Is the next one that I gave you Pasukov?
Yeah. There's a nun.
Okay. Parak Lamed Beis. I gave you nun. Okay. Well, we're gonna skip it. We'll skip it. Okay. All right. So Parak Lamed Beis is the Tanai of the Bnei Gad and the Eruvin. Okay, what is that? Oh, sorry. Yeah, Paragon Base. Okay, the Bnei Gad and the Reuben, they come to Moshe and they say, all right, we like this land where we are. We have a lot of cattle. We want to settle here. Now, there is what to be said about how the commentaries, they talk about how the Bnei Gad and the Reuben, you know what they say. Take a look at, where is it? What do they say?
No.
We're on page 910. Ah, okay. They say, Haaretz asher yikashem lefnei Adas Yisrael, Eretz Miknehi. It's a great place for cattle. And guess what? We have cattle. Okay? So, Moshe says to them, they say, we want to settle here. We don't want to cross over the Jordan River. Moshe says, hey, how can you guys, you know, your Jewish brothers are going to go and they're going to fight. And what about you guys? You're going to stay back? So they said, you know what? We agree that we're going to fight. We'll fight along. Okay, Pasuk Tazayin. Vayikshu elav ayomru gidros tzon evnel evnenu po v'yarim v'tafenu. They say, we're going to build places for our sheep and cities for our children. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Moshe's response to them is, and they say, so in other words, what seems to be their priority is their animals and not their children. So Moshe actually says to them, Pasuk of Dalet, that you have to build cities for your children and places for your sheep, and then you'll follow along and you'll lead the battles, then all will be good and everything will be fine. Okay? But look at what Moshe says to them, Pasuk of the beginning of Shvi, or slash Shvi. If you're going to lead in battle, that's great. And in fact, they do that. It's only after Yoshua gives out all the conquers the land, is ready to give it out, that the Bnei Gad and Reuben say, look, we did our job, we're going home. And they get permission to do that, and they go home. Then there's another episode which happens. But anyway, so they say, Lifnei Hashem L'milchama. So I want to say, let's take a look at what he says here. He's came out, he said, Kampamim Lifnei Hashem. Okay, actually, so I didn't present it right. Let's do one more thing. We have to look back at the way at what they say. Vayomer, back in Pasuk Hey. First they say in Pasuk Dal rather, they say Haaretz Asher Yikashem Lefnei Adas Yisrael Eretz Miknehi L'Avadecha Mikneh. So they do say that Hashem struck, you know, basically helped us win this place, and we have. And we have animals. We don't want to cross over the Jordan. We want this land. Okay? And then the next time, and Moshe keeps on mentioning God. He says, V'lama siniyu neslei b'nei pasuk zayin. Neslei b'nei Yisrael me'avor al ha'aretz asher nasan lahem Hashem. Why are you basically saying this land is good and you're kind of, you know, putting into people's minds that they shouldn't want, maybe they don't want to go across. And then Pasuk Taz, Vayalu at Nachal Eshkol, Vayiras Haaretz, you're talking about the spies, that they had seen the land, Vultivol Haaretz, Asher Nasan Lahem Hashem. They didn't want to come to the land that God gave them. Vayichraf Hashem Bayomahu, God got angry. Okay, turn the page. Pasuk Yigimel, Vayichraf Af Hashem Yisrael, Vayim Bamidbar, Vayim Shana, God got angry, and he kept them in the wilderness 40 years. Okay, until Pasuk Yidalid, that you are the new generation, and L'spos Od Al Charonaf Hashem Al Yisrael, you're going to be getting God angry again, because you don't want the land. So what do they say? They say, we will we'll build the things for our families and our animals, and then we will we'll do the battle. Pasuk Yichas, Lo Nashuga Boteinu Ardas Nachal Bnei Yisrael Lishnachal. So we will not return home until Bnei Yisrael have their place. Ki Lo Ninchal Me'ever Leyadeinu Hala. We don't want the other side of the Jordan. Ki Ba Nachal Seinu Eleinu Me'ever Leyadeinu Zerachal. We want this side. Okay. What does Moshe say? You're going to do this. What's the first thing he says to them? You're going to wage battle with Nei Hashem on Milchama. Okay. What has Moshe been saying to them the whole time? Hashem, 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 Hashem. What have they not been saying?
Hashem, Hashem,
Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Okay, that's the point. It's such an important reminder. We'll probably conclude with this. If we have time, we'll do a little more. But I thought this was amazing. Okay, so we're in the middle of page 3. Lifnei Hashem l'milchama. Hizkir Moshe b'zeh kam pa'amim lifnei Hashem. Moshe keeps saying before God. He says that this land is an inheritance of God. B'chol arichus b'marzeh. Look far who nichlal mashkas mikodim. B'anachnu nichalitz chashim lo nashiv al batenu. They say, right? They say we're gonna we'll do it. We'll fight. Amnam yafeb yafeb bier perzeh harabi kiva figo. Some contemporary of his must have explained it. Kihem amru v'anachnu nechaleitz lefnei b'nei Yisrael. They said, we're going to lead before God, before the b'nei Yisrael. Lo nashuv el boteinu, we're not going to return home. Adas nachelish nachlaso, until each man has his portion. Hinei b'yeru datam anachona v'alguna l'viltit seis b'kava yoshev ha'mishpat asher yuchiyat. They're saying correctly that they are not going to leave from their place at the battlefront, which is proper and just, based on what their obligations are. They're going to go through the battle trenches like everybody else. Saying we should not inherit without working for it. Okay? Totally good. Totally legitimate. Totally fine. Not up to the part which is a goal. They don't say that they're doing this out of reverence for God, fear of God, honor of His awesomeness. Asher kol to'avas Hashem, kol osei avil. What is a to'avas Hashem? What is a taboo? What is it that God doesn't like? People who, you know, they're a little off in terms of their focus, thought process, mindset. Al kein amar lahem Moshe, tova devar asher dibarte. Moshe said, hey, what you guys said is good. Ach lo yaspik ayosos tamei kasher martem. It can't just be plain. It can't just be irreligious, as you said. Shenira hayoschem osim kein b'avur hayosher ha-midinai v'aklali. That you're doing this because it's right. It's the right thing to do. What does Moshe have to say to them? El intasu adavar hazeh. That if you're doing this thing, asher matan that you said, tzarech shitosef bo'otanai, there needs to be another condition. V'hu, and it is. Shekeshe ya'avur kol chalus migem. That when you guys go to leave in the battle, that you're doing this because of nationalistic reasons. Why are you doing this? El lefnei Hashem. You're doing this before God. Lasos ritzono, to do His will. V'lo mepnei ayos hadavar muskam min hasechel usvara enoshis, and not because your rational mind says, you know, guys, it's the right thing to do. You know what? We're here. You know, we shouldn't fight. We all should all fight. We went through everything together. He says, no, that's not the right way. You are subjects of God, and you are doing this because you're subjects of God. Shamar lasos kein, v'naaseh ritzono. Moshe is saying, you're doing this, and we're doing His will. You want to have a clean conscience and a clean slate, you have to be naki, clean, from the perspective of your brethren who see you fighting, and from God, who says you're doing your shtadlis. Shetasu ikar ve'etzem v'rishona me'enikayon me'schayeves mitzido yizbarach. You're doing it because it's God's will. Umimenu li'Yisrael. And it's from, because you're doing God's will, that as a repercussion, it's following that you're benefiting Israel as well, meaning the nation. That's what Moshe is saying. You want to inherit this land? It has to be before God. Because if God wants it, you guys will all die in the front lines. It's great that you're going, but you have to recognize that you're going to be successful because of God. So that's what your whole life is all about. Moshe needs to remind them that your children come before your animals. Moshe needs to remind them that their God comes before all their rational guys. It's the right thing to do. No, it's what God said to do. Yeah, we're making a condition, we're making a deal, you get the land. Then the deal is only before man and not before God. Moshe says, you got to go before Hashem. And he says, if you don't do it this way, in other words, if you do it the way you guys said, which is that you're just leading your brethren in battle, kasher mati, and if you don't go lifnei Hashem, like I said, az av shelo tichatu b'zeh, l'shum adam, yisem nikim echechem yisrael avad, even if you're all good in the eyes of your brethren, you've done everything right, aval chatasem l'Hashem, because your mind's in the wrong place. Not that it's a dirty mind, but you're losing a significant focus of your existence. Bechaser ikar shleimus hakavana amura. That's the main reason why you do anything. And since this is something which can only speak to the heart, there's no person who's yichalol adas chatasam zos. Nobody can know that you don't have the right intentions or that you're thinking the wrong thoughts. So Moshe put this in them. He says, you guys have to know where you're coming with this. Right? What you're thinking, you guys know. We don't know. But who else does know? Who else knows? God knows. And so they got it. And he said, we're going to do what you're commanding. They're saying, not like we said before, that we're going to be leading B'nai Israel. The way that our master is reminding us, which is Lifnei Hashem. That's the reason why I gave it. He says this is a fundamental yisod, foundational idea in the service of God. Okay? That, I mean, look what he says. Ayin Sanhedrin, Ayin Vav, Beis, Berashi, Dibur Maschil, Amach, Zir Aveda. Okay, I can only imagine, I didn't look at Rashi up, I can only imagine what Rashi's saying. Machzer Aveda is returning a lost item. Why do you return the lost item? Because it's the right thing to do, right? No! I mean, yes, but because God told you to do it. And this is what Avodas Hashem means. Are there things which, so this is the reason why, whenever I ask people and say, what is the definition of a mitzvah? So the wrong definition is a good deed. Okay? Sometimes it is a good deed. It happens to be. A mitzvah is a good deed. Okay, very nice. But what is a mitzvah? It's a commandment. And you do it because God said so. And this is the fundamental of why we live the lives that we live. Because everybody here have the option to go home and, you know, violate every mitzvah, not the rational humanistic mitzvahs, but every mitzvah in the Torah which doesn't have, like, you know, why can't I eat a pig? Why can't I eat a pig? Who cares? Everybody else eating a pig. I'm not even killing the pig. I go into Publix, there's plenty of ham on the shelf and plenty of whatever it is. You know, why not? Why not? Because God said so. And the same thing applies to bein mitzvahs bein adam la'chaveiro, between man and your fellow man. It might be a nice thing to do, it might be the right thing to do, but why am I doing it? I'm doing it because this is my avodas Hashem as well. I'm serving God. And this is, I just found this to be a refreshingly, I mean, it should be obvious to us, but we need to be reminded of this all the time, because we forget. We tend to forget. We do things because it's the right thing to do. But the real point that he's driving home is, yes, do it because it's the right thing to do, by all means. But don't forget the ultimate reason why we do everything that we do. It's right because God said it's right. And the concept of right in this world comes from God first. So if a person is an Oyvin Hashem, what he's saying is, and what Moshe is reminding them, Nei God and Nei Ruvein, you're doing what's right because God said it. And never lose sight of the fact that you're an Eved Hashem, that you're a servant of God, and hopefully through the shtadlis and the things which we do, we serve our purpose and we fill our purpose by Ilma Zan as well.